Okay, Igor, we're going to start. So what we said last week was we were talking about the idea that actually relates to the things that we were just saying, that community has certain responsibilities, certain civic halachic responsibilities, so that if somebody passes away in the city, there's an isser malacha which devolves upon every single member of that city, that they can no longer engage in their regular work, which we thought was pretty shocking. But that's the halacha. And the Gemara gives an option, which is that if a city has appointed somebody, a chevra kedisha, to take care of this, then everybody can continue. But all else being equal, assuming that there isn't any organizational structure, everybody in the city has an isser melacha. And we saw that this is true, except there was one group of people that should continue to do what they're doing. And we said those are those who are oskim b'Torah. Exactly. So we analyzed it along the following lines. We said on the one hand, one could look at this as each and every individual in the city has an obligation to do tzarchei hames, but for those individuals who are permanently involved in Torah study, so their individual chiyuv of Talmud Torah overrides their chiyuv of Tzarchei Hames. Alternatively, a different way to explain it, which is my preferred way, is that it's not a clash between the chiyuv of Talmud Torah and the chiyuv in Tzarchei Hames, but it's actually a little bit of a different situation, which is that everybody, there's a kind of social contract. There's what I would call the halachic social contract, which is to say that anybody who resides in a city has halachic obligations qua that city. You have to be a halachically productive and contributing member of the city. So in that case, it's not a clash between the chiyuv Talmud Torah and the chiyuv in Tzarchei Hames. It's just that the chiyuv of Tzarchei Hames doesn't devolve upon those who are learning because they're pre-engaged in their form of halachic contribution, which is to learn Torah. Remember, learning Torah should never be a selfish activity. They're making sure that a Torah is studied, that the halacha is being observed in that community because they'll know what it is, and hopefully teaching everybody else. So again, that's what I call the halachic division of labor, which I think is like a very important perspective on what community life is all about. The idea being that being a member of a community means that one has responsibilities with respect to that community. One can't simply only tend to one's own religious life as if one was on some kind of desert island, but that religious obligations are created by virtue of us coming into contact with other people. That's a really important perspective on Judaism, is that our proximity to others engenders a certain legal responsibility, a halachic responsibility, and that's one of the things that we saw. But again, these are powerful, powerful sources in terms of stressing what Jewish community is all about. Simply by virtue of the fact that somebody dies in the city, you don't have to know the person, but that means you can't go to work for the rest of that day, no matter what, unless there is a chevra kedisha. Just one more thing that we spoke about last week was a machlokas Rishonim. There was a group of Rishonim, the Ritzkeias, the Nimukei Yosef, who felt that this was only true if it was a Meis Mitzvah, meaning somebody who nobody was going to take care of. But the primary view in the Rishonim and the way that we paskin is that this is true of anybody in the city. Right? That no matter your relationship to them or not, by virtue of the fact that you live in the same city. So that's obviously a very important makor, it's an important source in terms of learning about responsibilities that exist simply on the basis of a municipal relationship, right? It's not a personal relationship, it's not a familial relationship, but what creates that obligation? The place of residence. Wow. What's one other area of halacha where a place of residence creates an obligation? Okay, Egla Arufa is certainly measured, from cities, but within the city, I'm saying.
Shabbat.
Okay, good. Right, that we look at that as one unit. We can be No. I'm thinking about that. Whether that's actually a din in the city, right? You can make that argument. It's a din. Okay. What about individual
Chum Shabbos?
What's that? Yeah. No, that's true. But these things like Egla Rufa and Chum Shabbos are measured from cities. But what about responsibilities to the community simply by virtue of residence there? Hilchos Tzedakah. Right. That you have to be a contributing member. As the Rambam paskins, once you're in the city, right, you have to contribute to the kupa of tzedakah. And once you're in the city for 3 months, then you have to contribute to the tamchoy. And once you're there for 6 months, you have to contribute to the fund for clothing, people who don't have clothes, right? The clothing store. And then you after 9 months, you have to contribute to the tzorchei kavura fund. There is a halachic status to being a member of a city. That's really what I was looking for. In other words, being a member of a city, not just dinim in ayaros, in cities. But that's, I think, a really important perspective. So now let's go a little bit further.
But you're saying
go ahead.
This is the issue that even if a person was transiently passing through a city and someone dies, he still has a responsibility immediately.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So just to go back to the Gemara, let me make a diuk. In the Gemara, take a look at source 3. The Gemara said as follows: Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Meis Ba'ir Kol Bnei Ha'ir Asurin Be'asiyas Melacha. So I just wanted to make the diuk in response to Steve's question that Kol Bnei Ha'ir, and Bnei Ha'ir I would define based on some permanency to residence. In other words, not Kol Misha Ba'ir, but Kol Bnei Ha'ir. It's disputable. Steve might be right. In LP Halacha, we might expand this, but the simple reading of the Gemara would that this would be limited to people who have some established residence. Now, how one would define that, I think the most likely time point is 9 months, based on the Rambam, because the Rambam says that you have to start contributing to Tzarchei Kavura after 9 months. That's off the top of my head.
Because of the like the birth?
Yeah, I don't know where they came up with 9 months. I have to look into that Rambam a little further. It's always tempting when you have a shear of 9 months to say it's based on birth, but I don't know. Okay, could be. Very good, Igor. So let's now go where we left off. This is page 3, the funeral itself. Shas Hotza Aso. So you see something very interesting. Bishas Hotza Aso says the Shulchan Aruch HaKol B'Telim. In other words, everything that will be set up until now is Tzorchei HaKavura. Right, preparing the body for burial. But during the Levaya itself, once again, there's an Isser Malacha which permeates the entire city. Mechaber, Bishas Hotza'a, source 10, Mevatlin Mikol Shar Malacha Usubayim Lelevo. So everybody has to stop doing whatever they're doing, and everybody has to participate in the Levaya. Afilu Ilokari Vitani, even if the person who passed away was not a learned individual, Delo Mifalginan Bein Lokari Vitani Ella Bebitol Talmud Torah. The only time we're concerned was the person who passed away, learned or not, is to suspend Talmud Torah on the part of those who are learning Torah in the city. Aval Bishar Malachos, but when it comes to all other forms of human activity, all other labor, obviously with the exception of, Pikuach Nefesh, people who are doing surgery don't have to stop. Afilo ilo kari vitani, even if the person was not a learned person, akol betelim uvaim lelevoso. So once again, what we're seeing is a distinction between the chi of Talmud Torah and all other malachos, but with respect to all other malachos, again, bishas hotza'a, simply by virtue of the fact that there's a levaya taking place, that means that everybody has to cease their regular activities and immediately engage in levayas hames, in kavod hames. The Aruch HaShulchan says as follows. I mean, you could just take a step back for a second and ask yourself a question. My goodness, do we even remotely follow the letter of the law in this area? I mean, my God, right? Do people stop, do people come home from Wall Street, when there's a death in the city? Okay, so New York might be a little different, but I mean, we're very, very far.
Only after 5 o'clock.
What's that? Only after, right, but you can't bury after 5 o'clock, so it's a stira mina yuvei. Right, only in Israel can you have burial at night. Here, the unions don't do that. So the Aruch HaShulchan says as follows.
Before 9:30.
What's that?
Then before 9:30.
Right. I mean, I don't think they do that either. So anyway, you realize that this is more, I would say, honored in the breach. Mm-hmm. It's important that these things are on the books, but because it reflects a certain halachic construct. So what do we do in practice? If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, writing in late 19th century, early 20th century Eastern Europe, says v'aminag shenosin adam chashuv, that when it was a person of some stature, adam chashuv is something of a malleable term, but a person of stature didn't necessarily have to be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, certainly if a Talmud Chacham, but an adam chashuv, let's say a person of some stature in the community, shenosin adam chashuv lefinei hachanuyos sogrim hachanuyos. In other words, okay, maybe people weren't keeping the letter of the law in the Shulchan Aruch. People weren't actually not going to work. But what would they do? They would sogrim hachanuyos ad shetavur hamita. Anybody want to describe in their own words basically what the Aruch HaShulchan is describing? Seth, go ahead.
Well, and I've heard stories of this in times when a lot of people thought they had to work on Shabbos as well.
Very good.
That when the rabbi would walk by, out of respect, people would have their stores open on Shabbos. But out of respect, when the rabbi was walking home from shul, say, everybody would close the doors and sort of stand outside and sort of stop
And wish the rabbi a good Shabbos.
And wish the rabbi a good Shabbos as he was passing by. And similarly here, so that you're not really stopping for the funeral, but as the casket is passing by, you would close your store and pay your respects.
Okay, so Seth said that really, really well. And he gave the parallel example that I was going to give, which I heard from my grandfather as well, that it wasn't just an American phenomenon, but even in Eastern Europe, in Riga, when my grandfather moved from the shtetl to the big city, so one of the things that shocked him as a young boy was in the shtetl, he never saw anybody be mechalel Shabbos. Again, he was a boy. It could be that people were doing whatever they were doing. But nobody publicly violated Shabbos. Nobody was working publicly on Shabbos. When he went to the big city, one of the things that made an impression on him was that people would go to shul and then open their stores on Shabbos. But when the Rav walked by, the Rav would walk by in the main street, people would close their store, stand outside, and wish the rabbi a good Shabbos. So the very parallel phenomenon here, which is that people weren't going to stay home from work just because there was a levaya, but it was understood what the halacha was. So therefore, when the levaya was actually passing by, right, if let's say you're on a main street and the levaya was passing by to the cemetery, which more often than not was on the edge of the city, okay? So people would be passing by. We're not talking about, massive metropolis. We're talking about, you take the road out of the city, you'd be stores on the road. So they would close the stores because they know you're really not supposed to be doing what now? Work. You're not supposed to be doing work now. So it would be really disgraceful that, when the Aron was passing by, you totally ignore it. That's what the Gemara refers to as Loeg LaRush, Kol HaRoas HaMeis Veno Malveho. Somebody who sees the mace being taken away is over the Pasuk and Mishlei of Loeg LaRush, which go ahead.
Is that why, like, example, when I think his name was, I forget exactly, the guy who's the chief rabbi of New York briefly, when they had his funeral, so that they had thousands of people.
Oh, okay. So,
and then the custom of joining a funeral.
Oh, yeah. So, that is actually the requirement. We say that for a big Talmud Chacham, there is no limit. Everybody in the city would be chayav to be at that funeral. Now, as we see, at the Ikar Hadin Halach and Shulchan Aruch that we read is that even if the person is not learned, the people in the city should not be doing work. They should be going to Levaya. But, just based on practical exigencies of the way that work is done, people can't really take off from work under those conditions. So, have these hedges, these kinds of compromises that were developed. So that's what people did. Ukshemes Ha'adam Hagadol Shebe'ir, the Aruch HaShulchan says that he's just telling you what was done, which is really interesting in the level of minhag. Kshemes adam gadol shebeir kirab hakahila v'chayotzei bo no alim hachanuyos ad achar hakvura. They would lock the stores until after the burial. And those people would really go to the funeral. And at the very least, even if they wouldn't show up, which they're supposed to, but even if they wouldn't show up, they would certainly not work during that time. Okay, so that's really interesting. Okay. So that is what the Aruch HaShulchan just says on the level of minhag. Now, I just wanted to bring one final example of this notion of the communal obligation to engage in Tzorchei HaMeis. Because my basic thesis is that simply by virtue of the fact that there is this, what I would call a municipal bond, that creates a halachic mechuyavut, a responsibility towards the mace. Now, again, how we define that exactly, we've given different approaches. Either it's a chovas hayachid, each individual in the city has a responsibility, or it's a chovas hatzibur, that the tzibur as a whole, not necessarily that the chiyuv devolves on each and every individual, but I think this is the most dramatic expression, the next halacha. Ein sholin shalom zelazeh v'hameis ba'ir. The Torah says that the halacha is that when there's a mace ba'ir, not only is there an isser malacha, but Ein sholin shalom zelazeh. What does that mean? Yeah. So what? How do you explain that? Wow. Yeah. Exactly. In other words, the whole city is taken on a din of avelim. Right. When do we have this lehalacha? When's the one time that we do this besides
as Shabbat?
Yeah. Does everybody appreciate what's happening here? Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. I don't know that there's a clearer example that the city has taken on a status.
Okay. But in a way, but that makes sense.
Go ahead, Paul.
That,
yeah.
That is similar to Tisha B'Av, because if a great person dies, a great talk,
But
didn't say
it's a great event.
Yeah. But it's still the same. But it's.
This is Adam Chashu. It does say Adam Chashu.
Oh, no. Ein Sholin Shalom.
Sorry, I have the wrong side.
Yeah, okay. So, wow, you know, it's like a very... So what we've established is three halachos. Number one, when there's a meis ba'ir, iser malacha. Number two, where there's a meis ba'ir, there's an iser shela shalom. And number three, that when bishas levaya, people are not supposed to be working.
I think what's also significant is that this particular individual, who may not have been recorded with particular respect when he was alive, takes on a different category when he's dead, because it becomes a sort of a communal. It's where the this issue between individuals and community, there's a transcendence when you're dead, because you no longer have your own personal existence, but you have an existence in the context of the community.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
Well, yeah, these things are always expressions.
But it's like your identity devolves now upon the community. You no longer have your own individual.
That's a fascinating idea.
And so we all take a part of that loss, world part, because it's a loss for the community.
That's a very deep explanation of what's happening here. The simple explanation is that, you know, there's a responsibility towards the Tzalem Elokim that was. And Steve is sort of saying is like the loss of individual identity is compensated for by a kind of communal. The community sort of takes on the individual. It's very interesting. So the Torah just qualifies this. He says, "Bamedvarim amurim bikvar kata." And he says, "We're only willing to extend this as far as a pretty small municipality of Alba Ir Gedola Sho'alim. In Ir Gedola, we're not willing to make this distinction, because if you really don't know the person, then there can't be an Isser Sheila Shalom." So what the Torah is doing is driving a wedge between the Isser Malacha and the Sheila Shalom. He's saying the Isser Malacha would devolve upon the entire city, but Sheila Shalom has to be more of a personal expression of grief. And as a personal expression of grief, we're going to limit it, you know, on some reasonable grounds. Reasonable grounds being is that in a Kfar Katan, the idea is that everybody knows each other. And that's exactly what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Again, Rabbi Yechiel Michel, the Aruch HaShulchan says as follows, "Bikfar Katan ein sholim zelazeh, kshameis ba'ir." V'nir Ali, he says, "Dehu hadin ir katana." It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, it's incorporated as a kfar, it's incorporated as an ear. What's the real halacha here? We're not debating kfar versus ear, you know, town versus village versus city, you know. You call it whatever you want to call it. What does it depend on? Not how it's incorporated, but v'nirli dehu hadin, ir katana kol shehameis nirgash b'ha'ir. As long as the mace is nirgash, which means his loss is felt. It's a din in the relationship. Umizeh yirali, I love this halacha, tichshemes adam gadol, afilu bi'ir gedola, ein sholin shalom zelazeh. So when an adam gadol dies, nobody's allowed to greet each other. But wait a minute, I thought the whole thing was a din in a personal relationship. No. So the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not so much about the personal relationship, but it's, does this loss directly affect you? So in most cases, it's going to depend on whether there's a personal relationship. But when it's an Adam Gadol, everybody's affected. How so? Because this is a leader. It's like the captain without its ship, the ship without its captain, right? The idea is that a leader of a certain stature really does affect everybody, whether they know it or not. You know, by setting the tone for the community. What will the communal policies be? What minhagim will be observed? All these things speak to the special relationship between an Adam Gadol, a community leader, somebody, and not just a Gadol in the current meaningless sense of the term, but a true Gadol, somebody who was a leader, a visionary, somebody who really did provide for the community. So then it wouldn't matter what your personal relationship was. You may have spoken to him in your life, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but that's not really the point. The point is that you will be impacted by this. Kol shehameis nirgash ba'ir. So all of these distinctions, you know, the distinction between Sheila Shalom and the Yisr Malacha, Adam Gadol, not Adam Gadol. All these are very, you know, they're specific halachos, but they really speak to a broader perspective. And just to review what we've seen is that number one, the chiddush of the halacha is that simply being in the same city as somebody means that you have halachic civic responsibilities. And that expresses itself bishas misa, that everybody has to stop working. Now, if there's a chevra kaddisha, everybody's allowed to continue because they've effectively appointed shlichim to attend to the matter. The one exception being Talmud Torah, because if a person is learning and he's, you know, learning in the right way, then he is doing his duty to the community, and that can never stop. That has to go on 24/7. That really is an important perspective on Talmud Torah. I wouldn't say it's that we cared about Sorchei Hameis any less, but it's that we care that there should be learning all the more. course, if there's nobody else to do it, then you'd have to stop learning. That would be Mei Smith. So that's the first category, Isser Malacha. The second category that we saw is Bishas Levaya. Once again, there's an Isser Malacha. And here, there's no, you know, you can't say that it devolves upon a Chevra Kadisha. That is something that every individual, except those who are learning, assuming that the man that died is not of a particular stature, if the man that died would be a Talmud Chacham, that even those who are learning would have to stop. But everybody in the city has to stop working Bishas Levaya. And we just noted that the Aruch HaShulchan mentioned that you know, in practice, you know, this was not observed. But what people did do at the very least was symbolically close their stores when the Levaya was passing by. And then the final example that we saw, I thought this was the most dramatic example, was the Isser She'elas Shalom. That people can't conduct themselves the same way on a personal level. They can't, She'elas Shalom means they can't continue as if nothing happened. The entire city takes on the status of mourners, as if it were Tisha B'Av, as if it was, as Igor pointed out, and I like his language very much, as if it were a Beis Avel. That, you know, the Avelos extends to the entire city. So then the tour came and said, but that's such a powerful expression of Avelos, he thinks it could only be within a relatively small place where everybody knows each other. And the Aruch HaShulchan then said, yeah, but it doesn't matter whether it was incorporated as a village, as a city, as a town. That's not the point. The point is, are you impacted directly by this death? So then the Aruch HaShulchan then came and said, he said, ah, so that's the fundamental principle upon which the halacha is based. So then if it's an Adam Gadol, it transcends individual relationships. And simply by virtue of this person's status, you are impacted by this person's loss. In other words, the Rav, when the Rav died, that affected me, because even though I never spoke to the Rav, but right, this is the captain of the ship. And now the whole community has been affected by that loss. And that itself is a very important perspective on the relationship between an Adam Gadol and the community, because he sort of sets the course, which everybody follows. I always like to give the example of the Rav when explaining this halacha, because I never met the Rav, but he impacted my life in every way. The school that I went to, Frisch, which is my high school, got its charter from Maimonides. Maimonides was established by the Rav in New England in the 1930s. Okay? Because, you know, that was, you know, the Rav's vision. If it was good enough for the Rav, the idea was one of his Talmidim came and opened a school in northern New Jersey, and it was on his under his auspices.